This weekend, the Quad City Symphony is giving a concert. It's 7:30 Saturday night at the Adler in Davenport, and then 2 o'clock Sunday at Augustana College in Rock Island. A concert of the three B's: Beethoven, his Symphony No. 8, Brahms, the Symphony No. 2, and Banks. Banks is a local, and I'm happy to say he is on the phone with me from the Quad Cities. Jacob Banks, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Barney. It's good to be with you.
The piece is, it's not just that it was written locally. You refer to local things in the piece, which is titled Rock Island Line. What a great idea that somebody has written a piece for the Quad City Symphony called that.
Yeah, well, it seemed to fall into place. I titles are really important to me. One of my teachers gave me the great advice that titles are both the most important and least important thing about a piece. And I realized that, you know, as soon as I started to be influenced by Lead Belly's music and by Johnny Cash and all this, I said, well, you know what, why not just call it Rock Island Line? And of course, there's also some nods to Davenport, too. So I'm playing both sides of the river over here.
So you got Lead Belly. I understand you have a few other references.
Absolutely.
To things in the Quad Cities, and I'll let you tell us about them.
Yeah, well, there's a moment. It's not much, but I did want to do a short homage to Vic Spiderbeck, who sort of actually a lot of people don't know is a Davenport native, and he's actually buried in Davenport.
Wow.
And so, yeah, there are local references. I mean, one thing that I say a lot about the piece, too, is that there's a lot that sort of tries to evoke this part of the world. I try not to do in my music anything that would be better done by some other art. So yeah. I don't tell stories. I mean, there may be stories that are implied, but my goal is not to tell stories. If I wanted to tell a story, I would write a story. I also don't, if I wanted to paint pictures, I would paint a picture. So what I really try to do is get the sound of, you know, what are the ideas that really come out of this area sound like? I sort of step away in some ways from being really literal, but of course, in the case of the song Rock Island Line, written and performed and recorded by people who probably were never in Rock Island, because it's more about the train line than it is about the city, but also the sound of Vic Spiderbeck. It was really important for me, if the piece was going to be really closely tied to this area, that it be as much about the sounds associated as much as it is sort of like, you know, trying to sort of paint pictures or tell stories.
Well, there are some really, I read the notes, so I know of two kinds of sounds that, at least I've read that you brought in. One of them is river sounds. Am I right about that? Or?
Yeah, I nicknamed these. I call one they're really chords, a particular kind of chord. And the beginning of the piece is based on what I call the train chord. It really, you know, that, again, it's a literalism that you know, if it's helpful for an audience member, then by all means, think of it that way. If not, you know, there's plenty of other ways to hear it. And then the middle section is based on what I call a river chord. And they have very different characteristics.
So the train sound, would it be like the whistles or the chug-chug on the tracks, or what does it sound like?
It's a little bit like that. It's a little bit more abstract than that, though. When you hear the chord, I think it sounds train-like. But it really, it's abstracted more than anything. There are sort of like train-sounding rhythms. Rhythm is something, you know, that obviously is there are some things that are really implied, although I try to break up that as well. But you will find it sort of happens that there's the sort of a running 16th note thing that is often associated with the train sections, if you will, and then triplet rhythms, which are associated with the river sections.
Yeah, so it's sort of the sounds of flowing water going back to the 19th century, that kind of sound?
Right, so something like that. I mean, I had to be careful, because we just heard Johann Strauss. So there's been a fair amount of river music that's been written, so you have to be careful not to reconstruct the Moldau or anything. But certainly this, and also just in many ways, again, the goal is to get right at the sensation. So there's just sort of that feel, you know, if you've been in the Quad Cities, when you sort of look out over the Mississippi River, and it just sort of has that. It's not even that it sounds like it looks. It's a certain sensory feeling, and it can be expressed visually and in music and other ways. But it's the sense that matters.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear those pieces. I hope someday we get a chance to broadcast it on Iowa Public Radio.
I would love that.
Many of us have been to the Quad Cities. I love the place. And I, as you're saying this, I kind of see it in my mind's eye. So I'm just wondering how you do it musically. Jacob,
it is great because one of the things is that, you know, on a clear morning in the summer, I live up the hill in Moline, but if it, on a clear morning in the summer when the windows are open, you can hear the trains early in the morning. It's pretty awesome. But you know, again, there's a fair amount of clanging in the piece and all of that. But I don't want it to be too literal, so much that it can't also sort of mean bigger ideas.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a little bit about you, Jacob. You're 32, if I have that right.
That is correct. Yep.
You started composing in kindergarten. Could you tell us what you wrote back then?
I wrote, I used a pre-existing text, which was the months of the year. I wrote a little song for singing through the months of the year, and I don't know what I was thinking, and I had to have been really annoying, but it was just what I did. It just came out of me from nowhere, and you know, it's a shout-out to music teachers everywhere. My elementary music teacher, Mr. Sundberg in Fairmont, Minnesota, He took my tune and wrote it out, and I couldn't believe it. To me it was like, wow, you can write this stuff down and communicate it and transmit it, and that was pretty. I was hooked from then on.
Well, hooray for music teachers!
Yeah, absolutely.
And you went to Wheaton College, then Eastman, and you got a doctorate from the University of Chicago. Now, at
Correct.
Wheaton, you met a certain clarinetist who was also associated with the Quad City Symphony.
That is right. Yep, my wife, Kara Banks, is a sub. She subs frequently with the Quad City Symphony. We met while we were at Wheaton. We both got our master's from Eastman. We call that our two-year honeymoon. it was great. You know, life is good on the student loans, and it was just it was an amazing experience for both of us to be in that. Eastman is just like heaven. I mean, it's just an awesome place, and we both had a really good experience there. And then, you know, we went back to Chicago for me to get my doctorate, and she freelanced and taught and did the freelance musician thing. And now we're here. We're here with our kids.
That's great. So you're at Augustana?
Yep, teaching theory and composition at Augie.
Fantastic. So you're continuing the music teaching tradition.
I don't write out my students' music for them, though. they have to do that themselves.